Yes. Okay, so last but definitely not least is Kathy Desolitz. Kathy is the regional program consultant for the Title X program in New England, where she has worked in Title X settings for over 20 years. Before joining the federal government, she managed many planning programs at both the state and local levels in my home state of New Hampshire. For over a decade, Kathy has worked with the Region 1 Family Planning Data System to seek out and use data to assist service providers in understanding and improving their performance. She holds a graduate certificate in public health from Emory University. Kathy.
Now tell me how to drive this.
Use the arrows. Yeah, use the arrows that
okay.
way. Or the...
No.
This one.
Yep.
Yeah.
This one.
Yep.
All right. So, I have nothing to disclose, and what I want to do is really take what people have been talking to a more local level. So I will be demonstrating how we use the regional data system in Region 1 to monitor the performance of our system of family planning providers. Want to review the data to show how we can actually use that in the field to look at key measures, including overall utilization, chlamydia screening per guidelines, and the use of effective contraception, and then talk a little bit about how to use this data to improve performance. Region 1 is made up of the six New England states. We have 11 grantees, five in Massachusetts, two in New Hampshire, and one in each of the other states. And one of the things that's interesting, I think, about this system is that we have a wide variety of different kinds of service providers. So we have community health centers, Planned Parenthood affiliates, and some standalone family planning sites. Our regional data system collects encounter-level data from all grantees and all service sites, all Title X encounters, to allow reporting on the Family Planning Annual Report, which Christina just discussed. Some of the grantees have individual data capacity that is beyond that through the use of their electronic health records, and some don't. The data in the regional system is entered either by exporting from electronic systems, and that's increasingly true, and it has some real benefits and also some challenges, or grantees can enter the data at the site level directly into a web-based system. The data is available to the grantees and to the service sites on almost a real-time basis, and it also can be looked at by the regional office by the service sites. And you can look at it either in summary or in detail for any time period. And the data elements include the same ones that Christina just talked about, so I won't say them again. So what we can look at, as others have said, is the utilization of the health centers in the network. We can look at it by age, insurance status, race, income, et cetera. We can look at insurance status. We can look at, and that's helpful to, especially now, to look at changes as more people become insured, we hope. It can look at the achievement of performance objectives at the grantee, subrecipient, or site level. And we, in the regional office, use this data to help grantees to improve their performance on various issues. I should also say that we can use this data to see what's wrong with the data. I mean, I think one of the things that we don't like to talk about data is that data is only as good as how well it's collected. So one of the things we can look at really is, are we really getting the data we should be getting? Are we recording it accurately? Are we pulling it accurately? So the rest of this presentation is going to look at some of the data and what we've been able to see. So one of the things that we've been doing is looking at just utilization, and these slides show utilization trends, and you can see that Region 1 does not have as high a level of utilization, especially in 2008 and 2009 when there was an increase in federal funding, as the national trend. These are not on the same scale, by the way. But we do see in Region 1 an uptick in 2012 at the same time that there's a downtick nationally. So that raises some questions. Why did that happen? Some of the reasons might be changes in the insurance environment, for example. And that did happen, in fact. For example, Connecticut, which is our largest grantee in the region, enacted a family planning waiver for services, for payment of services, and their numbers increased as a result of that, we suspect. This shows that you can look at different grantees and see, did the grantees' individual trends, and you can see that these trends can be very volatile. If you look at grantee one, there was a very volatile trend, and we have to look at background information to see what caused that trend. Here we think that part of the decreases were resulting from people adopting new electronic record systems, which slowed down clinical services, and the increase was probably the family planning waiver, and we can look at that compared to the whole of Region 1. The real advantage of our system over FPAR, big FPAR, is that we can break down the data and look at it at the clinic level. So this chart, which is a little probably hard to see, shows that just in one grantee, and this is for the first two quarters of 2012 and then the first two quarters of 2013, and these are all the different sites within a grantee, and we can see where the variation is among those sites, and we can do that. This slide is really illustrative of the fact that we can do that for any issue that we want to look at in the data system. We can look by site, and then we can go and say, okay, what happened at site 6296, where there was a 42% drop in utilization? Why did that happen? Are there reasons for that? And are they remediable? Are there things that we can change? Here, and I included this slide mostly because it shows a sort of interesting piece of information in the current environment. This shows the percentage of clients who reported that they had insurance. So what we're comparing here is the green line, which is Massachusetts, with the region as a whole. And in 2006, Massachusetts started to implement their healthcare reform, and we can see that at the start of the period, Massachusetts had many more uninsured users than the rest of the region. We suspect that that's because for the biggest grantee in Massachusetts is a big network of community health centers. They serve very low-income users, many of whom are uninsured, but would benefit from the new system. And we can see that what happened over time is that this trend to uninsurance decreased. We really started paying attention to this data and asking the grantees to pay attention to it because we felt it was really important data that should be accurate. And so in the last 3 years, we really had people looking at this very closely, and yet we still see a leveling of the trend. I think what that suggests is that even in an allegedly fully insured situation, there will be a number of people who need family planning services that are not insured. And that matches up with some of the data in Massachusetts that shows that low-income working individuals are the people who are most likely to be uninsured. And that's a typical Title X client. We also wanted to, since we have the new guidelines that sort of suggest some things that we might look at for performance, we wanted to look at a couple of performance measures. So these are the same ones that Christina looked at, but we're looking at them at the regional level. So here we have the definition of our chlamydia screening measure, or what we'd like to measure for chlamydia screening, and we're looking at all women under 25 who were seen at a Title X clinic and what proportion of them were screened for chlamydia. Now, the limitation of this data is that we can't really look at whether they've been screened for chlamydia. We can look at whether they've been screened at the Title X site. So one of the things you'd need to know to really interpret this data well is, did the person have another source of care? And while we wouldn't know that at the regional level, sometimes people would know that at the site level or at the grantee level. So here we can see two charts that, and we're just starting to give this data to the grantees so that they can look at their own performance. So we can see two grantees in Region 1 compared to the regional trend. And we can see that for both of these grantees, the trend really mirrors in these two grantees the regional trend. For one grantee, they're above the regional trend, and for the other, they're below. That raises some questions about are there provider behaviors that could be changed at the second grantee here that would increase the level of chlamydia screening. Here we have one where we see a lot of variation in the data, and this shows you one of the things you can find out in the data, because at the point in 2011 where there was a big drop in screening, what we discovered, and this is a data artifact, we discovered that there was a change in coding. This grantee was exporting data from their electronic health record. There was a change of coding, and they lost some of their chlamydia screening. The other thing that may affect this, and you can see that we're seeing an increase now, but the thing that may affect this is CDC funding directly for testing under the Infertility Prevention Project is going to change in the coming year. And when that happens, we want to make sure that we can monitor whether that changes the degree of testing. And whether that happens may have something to do with what the insurance environment is in the background of those states. So it's an important thing that we'll be able to look at through the use of this data. One of the ways we think the grantees can use the data is by setting up a friendly competition. So we have just distributed to our grantees benchmarking data that shows where they stand compared to the rest of the region and compared to the national data on the two measures that we're talking about, on chlamydia and contraceptive use. And this slide really demonstrates that there's a fair amount of volatility in this data. For example, grantee E in the red in 2011 was among the highest grantees in terms of chlamydia screening, and in 2012 there was a decrease in screening, and we haven't followed up on this yet. This is fairly new data, and you can see the reverse trend in grantee D. So what this suggests in practice is that we can now go and talk to these grantees, and from the grantee that's losing screening, we can try to figure out what that's about and see if the grantee who's gaining screening can help them with that, can suggest better practices. I think that the key thing about this is what we really are looking to change based on this kind of data is provider behavior, both provider behavior in seeing that services are delivered and provider data in terms of making sure that the data is accurate. The next thing we looked at is contraception, the use of an effective method, and we looked at this a little differently than Christina's data. So we looked at all female methods, who are all female users who adopted or continued the use of a moderately or highly effective FDA-approved method. So we included people using sterilization, which Christina had excluded from her data. So the first thing we have to do to figure that out is to figure out who's at risk for unintended pregnancy. And our data is not perfect for that, partly because intention of pregnancy is not an easy thing to figure out, and it's very volatile, if those of you who've gone to other presentations in this conference know. So we don't have a data element that looks at intention, and even if we did, I'm not sure if it would really tell us as much as we'd like to know. But what we decided was the best way to look at risk was to just look at all women who didn't report that they were either seeking pregnancy or pregnant. And again, we looked at all of the moderately and highly effective methods. And here you can see across the region the use of moderately or highly effective methods. The light blue bar at the bottom is the highly effective methods, which includes sterilization and LARCs. The brown bars are moderately effective. And the green bars are the less effective methods, which are methods like spermicides or withdrawal. So that's what we can see here. And then the top bar is people who have no method. So when you look at this, it looks one way. However, if we look at it by grantee, we see that variation, a very large variation, where we see, for example, at grantee D, that there's a very big block of people in the bars that we would rather not see people in. So we need to go and look at why is that happening at that grantee. Here again, we see a comparison on this method use measure, and you can see that whether people match the regional pattern or not. So again, we see grantee D with a drop in people using effective methods, and one thing we might want to do is see what's happening here. So here we see for grantee D, we want to look at, is it that people are using less effective methods? No. There's a big drop in the number of people using the less effective methods, but there's a big increase in people with no methods. So that raises the question, are we capturing method use for all users? And here again, I can talk loud. Here again, you see benchmarking of grantees, and I think this is one of the most effective and useful tools that we have, because if a grantee can see where they're doing compared to their peers, that will drive people who are not doing well to want to be able to either figure why that is or to drive improvement. So we can look at the data for any time period. We can look at it annually, quarterly, or by month. And actually, the grantee can, by looking, as I showed you in an earlier slide, at what's happening at the site level, can look at what the reasons are for these changes. In some cases, there might be reasons that really don't mean that there's a bad performance, but we need to know. And by using both the trend line and the benchmarking, we can allow grantees both to compare themselves to their own past performance and to the performance of other grantees. And one of the things that happens is if you use the data regularly, it means that people work harder at getting the data right, which is, I think, one of the most important pieces in this. This is a very complex system with lots of different pieces, and people are collecting this data as part of their regular clinical care. So it's probably data is not people's first interest here. So if we can get people more interested in the data, we'll get better data. Once we look at overall trends and variances, as I've shown you here, the grantee can actually look at, they could pull out, for example, all the users who didn't have a method and figure out something about that. You can also look at it by lots of different measures. So, for example, is there variation by site? Is there variation by types of clients? Is there variation by race, ethnicity? Do different types of clinics do better or worse? By that in-depth analysis, it really can drive performance improvements. One of the things that I want to say about that is in New Hampshire, we use these data, and we reported them quarterly to all of the subrecipients in New Hampshire, and one of the things we were able to do with that is to really improve our performance on chlamydia screening. We improved it by about 7 or 8% over a 3-year period. So there are some limitations to this data, and I think I've hinted at some of them as I've gone along. There are data mapping area, there are complex mapping from electronic data systems. It seems like electronic data would be wonderful and it would always be right, but when we go out and look, sometimes we see that the data doesn't really capture what the chart shows, so there are some mapping problems, and this can highlight those. I gave you an example during the presentation of when we had a change in a code, and that code meant that we lost a lot of data, so we really need to encourage grantees to look at their data. And a lot of data is, insurance status is a good example. It's collected by client self-report. What does the client tell you? Because the question we ask about insurance is not a payment question. It's a question about, do you have insurance that covers you for primary care? The client's going to say yes or no. There may be reasons the client doesn't want you to know that, so they may not tell you the right information. And then there are some to places where the data elements aren't really clear. And I mean, I think the contraceptive use one is a tricky one because we have a category that says no method of the reason, which is sort of a catch-all. And that's very tricky. And this is the same thing. Right now, some grantees really are using their data to look at performance. We're going to be using the benchmark data to initiate discussion with the grantees. And we can use the data to identify outliers so that we can go out and figure out what's going on. And we can also target high performers to provide technical assistance and support for their peers. And again, as I think I've said several times, one of the real keys is looking at data quality and data accuracy. And thank you.